In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. They say at All Saints, we are at a time that is a thin place, where we are very close between heaven and earth, where we are very close to those who have gone before us. And I think that's true. If you listen very closely, have you been hearing that? That knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door? Some people say it's the radiators, but I don't know. I don't know. This is a thought exercise that I think I probably do every year, but it's worth repeating, so bear with me. I would like all of us to spend just a moment and think of someone who has been a saint in our life. I want us to think of, and every year whenever I do this, somebody comes up to me after the service and says, "You know, as soon as you said that, so-and-so popped into my head." But I want you to think very, very distinctly about someone that has meant so much to you in your faith journey. Someone that has made an impact on your relationship with God, Christ, the church. I want you to think it could be parent, aunt, uncle, grandparent, Sunday school teacher, priest, pastor, a friend, someone, an individual that has truly made an impact in your life for the gospel, who has gone on to glory, who is no longer with us in this world, who has left the church militant, that is us here on earth, and has joined the church triumphant, that is across that River Jordan. I want you to think about the impact that individual had on your life and your spiritual journey, and where you would be at today if that individual had not been in your life. I can think of quite a few. And I would imagine that while there may be one or two individuals that pop up immediately in each of our heads, if we sat and really thought, there would be a number of people that we could really come up with. And much like the Apostle Paul, while he's writing the church in Ephesus, I am truly grateful for these people and their witness in my life, what they have meant to me, what they have done for me in my faith journey, for the opportunity that they have given me by their witness to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. It is humbling. It is truly humbling to think that these people were in my life, that I had the good fortune and the good opportunity to be in the same time, in the same place as some of these people. And I am blessed. I am blessed to have had them. And I think, how can I ever match up to a few of these individuals? And I quote her quite often, my grandmother is certainly one of these people. My grandmother was one of those salt-of-the-earth kind of individuals who faced a lot of adversity in her life, dealt with a lot of stuff that I wish she didn't have to deal with. But yet she was able to persevere. When she passed away, she had a Bible that it was in large print, right? And it was about yay thick. And it was absolutely falling apart. And it was falling apart because her life wasn't. Okay? And it was a magnificent testimony. Her life was to her faith in God. As you went through her Bible, she had all these little passages and everything annotated. And I don't know if you've ever gone through your grandparents' Bible or anyone that's ever been important to you in their Bible or anything like that. But and I'd imagine it's still a tradition today. I don't do it nearly as much as I think some of the older folks would do. But they would stick little things in the Bible, right? Four-leaf clovers sometimes, but also just little notes, like where they were reading in their Bible when something happened, right? When we were going through it one day, and when my uncle passed away, her oldest son, it was where she was reading in the Bible, she'd stuck a little note in there where she was at whenever she found out. And that brought some tears to people's eyes, you know, but we were going through there and just finding different little things. And we came across one page, and it was August something or other, the year 2000. And it was the date that our family's beagle went missing. She put the date when the dog turned up missing in there, okay? And she hated this. She claimed she hated this dog, right? She claimed she hated this dog. She claimed she hated the dog. This is, I don't know, but she would come out every day to the door, look out at the door, yell at the dog, like, "You dumb little beggar, I'm not about to give you anything today." And then she'd go in there and fry him sausage, make him breakfast. Sausage and scrambled eggs. It was better than I got. And she would go out there and give this dog food. And it made an impact on her life, and she marked it in her Bible. Her Bible was a milestone of her life. Her faith, milestones of her life and her faith were kept in this Bible. And it was, it still exists, my mother has it. And again, it's falling apart. I mean, it's stuffed full of papers and just random things. And every once in a while, when I go back to my mother's house, I'll go there and I'll kind of open it up and see what sort of weird things I can find in there. Four-leaf clovers from probably 60 years ago and just oddball stuff like that. But you think about it, someone's life is summed up in a book like this. And it wasn't even a book about her life, but it was a book that she made the centerpiece of her life. It was a book she made the centerpiece of her life. Now, I think that's fascinating. Most of us in our egocentric little worlds, in our me universe, we want to take our lives and make us the center of the universe. But if you take the people that we've thought about immediately whenever we say, "Oh, this was the saint in my life," I bet if you look back, those individuals have taken the Bible and made it the center of their life. They've made Jesus Christ the center of their life. They have taken their life out of the equation, and they've replaced it with Jesus and said, "No, my life isn't as important as Jesus's. My life I have given over to Christ. My life is now Christ's. I will work, I will live for Jesus Christ." And that's hard. That's hard to do. And some of us say, "Well, if that's what it takes to be a saint, I don't know if I can do it." Well, I got news for you. It is entirely possible. It is entirely possible to do. Robert Louis Stevenson had the best possible quote about this. He said, "What is a saint but a sinner who keeps trying?" My brothers and sisters, All Saints' Day is an opportunity for us not just to remember those who have gone before us in faith, but an opportunity for us to remember that a saint is just like us, someone who can just try and try and try to be more and more like Christ. It is very, very difficult to be like Jesus. We're not going to be like Jesus. And that's okay. Jesus gets that. Jesus understands that. Okay? We're off the hook for being exactly like Jesus. Okay? But we're not off the hook for trying. We got to actually try. We got to actually want to be a little more holy, a little more blessed, a little more righteous, a little more different from the world. We got to want to try. We got to want to make the world a little more loving, a little more different. How do we do that? I think that Jesus gives us that roadmap today. That roadmap to toward what being a saint looks like. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek. Every time I read this passage, I swear, Father forgive, I think of Monty Python and the life of Brian. I apologize. I always think of that line where he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is up there, and he says, they're trying to relay the message down the hill, and I feel like this is what would happen in my own life, you know. What did he say? He said, blessed are the cheesemakers, because nobody can hear all the way down the mountain, right? And so they're trying to relay. What did he say? Blessed are the meek. Ah, good for them. They've had a hell of a time. I always remember that line. It's true, they have. Whenever we read those lines, it is not about us just accepting the world the way it is and just rolling over and letting the world do whatever to us. It's not about us just being pacifists and just letting whatever happen and accepting it. No. It's about allowing ourselves to be humble. Blessed are the meek, translates. Blessed are those who are humble. Blessed are those who are not going to boast about it and be self-righteous. Blessed are the poor is a really awful translation of what it actually says in the Greek. Blessed are the single-hearted is actually a better translation. Blessed are those who are in tune, in one with God's will. We are blessed when we want what God wants. We are blessed whenever we actively try. My brothers and sisters, if a saint is just a sinner who keeps on trying, then I pray that we just keep on trying. Because we can all be saints. We can all be saints. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am so, so thankful to God. Amen.